Hey, good evening, SP. This is such an incredible privilege for me to share one message to all of our churches. Hello, greetings to obviously our church family here in Hong Kong, SP Hong Kong, Pastor Sam Kim and Annie in Singapore. Man, we love you guys, and we're so excited for what God's doing in the midst of you guys. For SP Beijing, Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe, man, I miss visiting you guys, and we're so grateful for you and for your whole community. SP New York, Ruth, Jess, Kelly, man, just you guys keep plugging in and keep going after the Lord in that way. In the city, I know New York is crazy, but man, we're really proud of you guys. Pastor Ricky and Steph in Shanghai, SP Shanghai community, man, we're just amazed at what's been going on just in a short time over there in Shanghai. SP Tokyo, for Sophia and Jungmin and Hyunjin, man, keep fighting the good fight when you're there. I hope you're blessed today through the word of the Lord. We're really so excited for what God's going to do. And then our new future family, an SP Seoul, and so for Kwang and Taeyeon and that group, welcome to service. So we look forward to expanded work in the kingdom there in Korea. And it really is my incredible privilege to be sharing this word. And I just start, and this is just totally, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I do not deserve to be on the same platform as RT and with Bob and Bobby. But, you know, some people asked me to do this. And I love preaching, so that's not an issue, but I hope that I brought a word for us, for all our communities together during this time, and really excited to share with you today. So if you could turn our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, and I'm going to read from verse 11 to 13. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 13. He says, the word of the Lord says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Amen. Amen. Can we close our eyes and let's pray and let's go before the Lord. Thank you. Lord, we just want to thank you for this conference, God, and we've already been blown away, God, with RT's message last night, blown away, Lord, with Bob's message this morning, and Bobby's incredible encouragement to us this afternoon, and now we come humbly to the evening service, and God, we ask you to speak to us, Lord. Let the word of God, Lord, enrich us during this time. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room and all the rooms that are out there, God. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is in each one of us and collectively, God, as the body, as SP around the world. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. I just want to give a special thanks to the Beijing team that did all the subtitles and everything to make sure that the message goes out to our audience in China. And so praise God. I just want to first start off by saying, man, what a crazy year that we had. I mean, probably the craziest year in our churches represented here in Hong Kong, in the U.S., in China. I mean, we started out, particularly in Hong Kong, we started out with political unrest, and then now in the United States and other countries of the world, we had racial unrest in different places. And then, to top it all off, we started the year with a global pandemic. I mean, it's just insane when we talk about this. And in Hong Kong, we've talked about this as a church. And when the pandemic happened, we asked this question: well, is this just a storm? Is this just going to pass by, or is this pandemic? Is this a season? Is this winter, or is it an ice age? And I think when the pandemic started, we thought, oh, it's just a storm. It's going to pass by. It's just a more serious flu. And we realized that it was actually much more than that. And it's gone past the season. We know it's past winter. Could it be the new ice age? And unfortunately, it looks like this may be the new normal. I personally believe that we're going to continue to have pandemics here and there as the population increases and as the sinfulness of the world and the fallen nature continue to rise. I think just like September 11th changed air travel, I think COVID-19 will also have a similar effect, not just on air travel, but on a lot of different aspects of life, community life. When we close 2020, I think we were happy that it closed because it's like, oh, good riddance and going into the future. But at the same time, we have to be honest and say we mourn some things. We lost some things. I know personally for me, and I share this at our church in our New Year's Eve service, but, you know, we missed my dad's 80th birthday. We had planned our whole family to gather together in Vietnam. My brothers and sister were going to fly in, my aunts and uncles, and we're going to celebrate my dad's 80th birthday. And we had a villa set up. My kids were excited, and we had to cancel it. And my dad turned 80 in the end of December, and obviously we couldn't be there to celebrate such a landmark time for him. And so we lost some. We didn't have our retreat in 2020, which was really sad. My cousin passed away in 2020, my little cousin, and couldn't go to his funeral because of this. I couldn't go on holiday with my wife. We try to make an annual trip every year around our anniversary, and we had Champions League tickets to see Barca play. We actually had and we're going to go another game that we had some contacts and box seats for a La Liga match, and we couldn't do that. We mourn that. We all lost something through this year. I think we can be quite confident of that. We, in the midst of this, though, we became experts in some things. We became experts in Zoom. I don't know if that's good or bad. We became experts, a lot of parents did, in online learning and how to traverse and navigate through that minefield. It's interesting. I mean, a lot of things have changed. Before, when I walked out of the house, I always made sure that I had my wallet and my phone and sometimes my keys. But now you got to make sure you have your wallet, your phone, and a mask. And it's crazy. I don't know when that's going to be different. I preface all this by saying this message came out of that trial, those trials and those experiences. And if I'm honest, you know, I was feeling pretty bummed about 2020. I don't recall exactly. I think this was kind of around the summer or so. And feeling bummed out about everything. I was just on survival mode for so long. I was waiting for things to go back to normal, whatever that was. And it just didn't happen. And I remember I was not feeling that cheery. And I was having my quiet time one day, and the Lord just really spoke to me really powerfully. He actually rebuked me. I totally deserved it, because I was really walking with a really defeatist mindset, which is not my norm. But I think COVID-19 really took it out of me. And couldn't do what I wanted to do. Particularly, I know this sounds ridiculous, but you know, they kept closing the basketball courts. I'm like, what? Why are you doing this? And so on and so forth. And so I was not feeling very good. And the Lord rebuked me in my quiet time. And this is what He said. He said, "Son, thrive. Don't just survive. Thrive. Don't just survive." And something inside of me just really, really woke up during this time. My spirit became roused here. And I said, yeah, yes. My spirit said, yes, I am meant to thrive. I'm a child of God. I'm not just here to take up air and space. I'm not here just to survive. I'm here to thrive. And so that's the title of my message today. It's called Thriving, Not Surviving. thriving and not surviving. And so it really woke me up, and I had this renewed zeal and this renewed energy. And I said, yes, I don't care the pandemic's here. I'm going to thrive in the midst of time because I'm a child of God, and that's what God has for me, even in times of uncertainty. And we're here to be the head and not the tail. And so something is pumping inside of me. So over this time, it really got me thinking about something. And it's a real simple idea. How can I thrive? How can I thrive in the midst of uncertainty? We have to recognize that there's always going to be uncertainty around us. I want you to say this out loud, and you'll see the subtitles, and you can say it in Mandarin as well, but I want everyone to say this out loud. There's three statements. Number one, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what to do. Go ahead. I'll wait for you. The second one. So repeat after me. The second one. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't have all the answers. And the last one, follow after me. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what is going to happen. Those are all truth statements. We're not perfect as Christians. There's always going to be uncertainty. And to say, I don't know, is not a sign of weakness. It's just simply a sign of honesty. There's a story, Carl Sagan, the famous astronomer, he told this story. And a newspaper publisher sent a telegram to a noted astronomer. It wasn't Sagan, it was someone else. And sent a wire. This is back in the days. And the wire said to this astronomer, collect immediately 500 words on whether there is life on Mars. And so the astronomer dutifully replied in this wire, and he just said, nobody knows, /250 times. So there goes the 500 words that were collected. Nobody knows. That's the situation that we're living in right now. Nobody knows. When can we travel again? I don't know. When can I visit our church family in Beijing and Shanghai and Singapore and Tokyo and New York and in Korea? I don't know. And a lot of these things. When are my kids going back to school? I don't know. When is the vaccine coming out? I don't know. When can I get back? I don't know. There's so much uncertainty that's surrounding us during this time. We are living in uncertain times. So many things are up in the air. So many questions that we have. You know, when can we finally take our masks off and not wear them again? We don't know. Our jobs have been greatly affected. Our future has been greatly affected. The way that we look at health has been greatly affected. The way even we do church has been greatly affected. There is so much uncertainty all around us during this time. Everything is up in the air. And this is a truth statement again. I will always be uncertain. I am certain of that. I know, a little cheeky. I will always be uncertain. I can be certain of that. Anlie Stanley, a pastor in America, he says this, and it really helped me bring really good insight. He says, uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. It underscores the need for leadership. He said, uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. It underscores the need for leadership. I've been chewing on that for a while, particularly at the end of last year. And I confess that 2020 was not my best year. As a leader, I was very convicted regarding my leadership of 2020. I felt that most of the year I've been reacting instead of being proactive. that I was more responding instead of leading. And I wanted 2021 to be different. I could still foresee the challenges that are out there. So it's not like the circumstances changed, but I wanted to change. And so I was talking with the Lord at the end of last year, and I said, God, I just don't want, as a leader, you know, my congregation here in Hong Kong and our other churches that look to me for leadership and those things, I got to do much, much better in this way. And I have to be a better leader. And so I submitted myself to the Lord and just praying. And I just, as I was really talking with God, I just really felt God challenge me to prepare myself. And so, and he said, and it was just simple. He said, son, do you really want to prepare? I said, yes, Lord. He says, then I want you to fast. And not just the 21-day fast. I want you to do a 40-day fast during Christmas time. And I want you to seek my face. And that's the way you're going to prepare yourself. And so it's been great. So I've been doing it. I started December 14th. And today is the 20-some day. Obviously, you guys know this is pre-recorded. And so it's a 20-some day, and I'm doing great. And I just really feel, and I just really sense that there is so much that God has in store for us, and that we all need to prepare ourselves. I mean, that's why we're fasting right now, all of us, in our 21-day fast. And I could see the signs. I could see God speaking to us at the end of 2019, but because I wasn't as prepared or ready, I misunderstood or didn't really take to heart. I realized I could have been more prepared for 2020. If you think about it, even God gave us a theme. In Hong Kong here, our theme was "Our God is a God of Order." That's what you see behind me on the artwork there. And God gave us this order. He's a God of order. In other words, he was going to bring his order out of chaos. I mean, this year was chaos. 2020 was chaos. And God had spoken to us, but because I, as a leader, was not prepared, as prepared as I should have been, and so I'm like, dude, I ain't making the same mistake. I'm not making the same mistake again. And so this is where we're going forward in this. And so, you know, for our churches, please forgive me for my lack of preparation, but it's not going to happen again, for sure. So uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. Uncertainty is sometimes not an indication of poor choices as well. Uncertainty is what life is. Life is uncertain. Turn to your neighbor. I know some of you guys are having watching parties and other people are gathered. If you're online, if you're on Zoom, you can go in and type. If you're in a YouTube live stream, you can type in and just say, hey, good looking. Life is uncertainty. Tell somebody, hey, good looking, life is uncertain. Go ahead. But this is the good news. This is why we're followers of Christ. Even though life is uncertain, God is not uncertain. God is not uncertain. John Wesley, he said this. He says, when I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I'm not half so sure of most things as I was before. At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. I think it's such a humble approach to living life. Isn't that what James says? James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. See, God is not shifty. He's not changing left and right. He is consistent. He remains the same. There is no variation. There is no shifting shadow. That's who he is. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we trust Jesus. That's why we trust God, because He doesn't change. He's consistent. He's always there. There's a certainty about who God is and about who Jesus Christ is. And it brings us peace because He's so consistent in that way. This is why we trust Him, and this is why we love Him. We can be secure in God because there is no variation or a shifting shadow. God is not uncertain. But what God does, He shows up powerfully in uncertainty. For example, the epicenter of God's activity was the cross. This was, we could say, the crux of uncertainty. What? The Savior has died? What's going to happen? The disciples have lost their leader. Oh no, Christianity is done for. And God takes this uncertainty and turns it into something that's beautiful, that's called the Christian church and the Christian faith. God shows up in the midst of uncertainty. I remember, this is way back in 1993. In 1993, I came to Hong Kong for the summer, intending to live here. I was going to play semi-professional basketball here. I had all these plans. I was going to actually coach and be part of the PE team at Hong Kong International School. Things were set up, and tryouts were there. I mean, everything was happening. And then I was playing volleyball with the team, with the club team in Hong Kong in one of the gyms, and I slipped on some water, a spot on the floor, and I tore my ACL, my anterior cruciate ligament, and that was basically the end of my sports career as an athlete. And I had this knee injury, so I went back home to California. I got no job, no money. I just graduated from college, no place to live, really, no place to call home. Alone from the mission field with a bum knee. I remember I wanted to serve God here in Hong Kong as an athlete, as a sports minister. And now I'm a bum knee. I'm not even an athlete anymore. And this was the start of my ministry. And in the midst of all this uncertainty, man, God came through in a powerful, powerful way. Because He was certain. Even though there was so much uncertainty, I can trust in God. He never wavered. He never shifted in any way. And He opened doors for me, and things happened. And then basically, roughly about 10 years later, I come back to Hong Kong, not as a sports minister, but as a seasoned minister of the gospel. And I can see God's wisdom in this. And as well as I came back married, you know, I was much better with my wife for sure. And I mean, just amazing of how that works. Brothers and sisters, God shows up powerfully in uncertainty. See, we are part of the story, God's story. See, God's story is linear. It's not cyclical. It happens this way. Think about this. If you're reading a book and you came to a difficult chapter in the book, would you just give up reading? Of course not. Well, some of us probably would, but hopefully we wouldn't. In that same way, just because you're in a difficult chapter of your life, does it mean that we just give up? No, we don't give up. Because you and I, all of us, we are part of God's story. He's still writing it. And guess what, friends? He has a good ending. He has such a good ending. How do we know that? We read that in the first part. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So that's what He wants. He doesn't just want you to survive this time. He wants you to thrive. He wants to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that awesome? He doesn't just want to give you a job. He wants to give you a future and a hope. He doesn't want to just give you a spouse. Whatever you're lacking, He wants to give you a future and a hope. He's going to show up in the midst of uncertainty. So, ask this question. So what do we need as we prepare for 2021, as just a word to all the SP churches, what do we need to thrive in the midst of uncertainty? And I just came up with 3 points. There could be so much more, but I just came up with these three, and I hope it blesses you and it speaks to us. Number one, what do we need? We need clarity. We need clarity. It's okay to be uncertain, but not okay to be unclear. We need clarity. See, what happens is uncertainty clears the way for us to have clarity. It almost opens the door. It brings us into a space that we must clarify and make itself clear because things are so uncertain. In other words, what has God called you to do? What was the original vision that God put in our hearts? You can tell in the midst of this pandemic that we reverted back to what was really important. What's really important? Home, family, community. Work, yes, but not as important. I mean, we got to come to grips with that, with those ideas. And we realized, but it was the uncertainty and the difficulty of life that really brings us back to what's really important in our lives. What is the vision? In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, this is when Moses, their leader that brought them out of Egypt, that led them through 40 years of wandering in the desert, he dies. I mean, can you imagine the trauma and the uncertainty of that situation, of having the leader, the one that stands in the presence of God, that hears from the Lord, that gives the law and all these things, and now he's dead. And so now they come to a real crossroads in the midst of incredible uncertainty. And notice what happens in chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you are going to cross this Jordan to begin to take possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it.'" This is the new leadership after Moses dies. See, the Israelites, they were used to wandering. They were good at wandering. Really good. 40 years, they were good. They were experts at wandering in the desert. They were good at it, but now they had to war. They had to take possession. What was the original vision? The original vision was take the land. The land that I'm showing you, land flowing with milk and honey. But for 40 years, they wandered around the wilderness. But they needed to take the land. And this uncertain moment, in the midst of this, brought them back to the original vision. They had clarity. Joshua had clarity. Now, this is what we're called to do. We're not going to wander around in circles anymore. We're going to take possession of the land. And all they had to do was cross the Jordan. All they had to do was cross the Jordan. See, uncertainty helps us to go back to the original vision. It is. Like I said before, we didn't even realize this, but the pandemic showed us what was really important. Churches even had to realize what was really essential and necessary. And we had to cut out all the fluff because we had to. That's what it did. The Israelites had to do what God told them and depend on Him to do what they couldn't do. They had to. They're at this space. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we also need to do what God has told us to do and depend on Him to do what we cannot do on our own strength. It's a moment. What happens? We need clarity. We need to retreat to the vision. We need to pack and cross the river. See, this is the Israelites. The Israelites were really good at packing. Can you imagine? They're packing all the time. They're packing, unpacking. They're really good at that. But they didn't know how to cross the river. We need to learn to cross the river. We need to have that clarity from God. We need to understand that. And even in the midst of uncertainty, the uncertainty helps us to clarify, okay, God, is this what you said? And then to own it, and then we go. And maybe, and I think if I'm going to use an analogy here, I think for a lot of us, I think that Jordan is the river of unbelief, or it's the river of discouragement, or it's a river of failure. Brothers and sisters, you have to cross that river. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. What is your Jordan River? That God, through this time, is giving you some clarity, and now it's time for advance. It's not time to pack and unpack, walk around in circles. It's a time to take possession of the inheritance that God has for you, whatever they may be. What's your Jordan? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Number two, what do we need to thrive in uncertainty? We need flexibility. We need flexibility. Plans change, but the vision remains the same. It's important. Plans change, but the vision remains the same. And so what we need to do is don't change the vision. We just need to change the plans. We need to become flexible. And plans change more so in times of uncertainty. The future, I don't know if you ever heard this, the future belongs to the flexible. Jim Collins, the business writer, he was writing about Sam Walton, who was the founder of Walmart, one of the biggest retail stores in the world. And this is what he said, Collins said about Sam Walton. He says, no decision was sacred, but the vision never changed. Walton learned to be flexible with the plans and the things that were holding on to, but always stay true to the vision. And so we got to learn to be flexible during this time. We got to learn to go with the flow. The path may be different, but the vision will not change. In other words, we have to be flexible and we have to be ready to pivot. We got to change some things around us. You know, like for me, for instance, you know, through 27 years of being a minister and all these things, I've had so many job titles. I've had missionary, sports minister, youth pastor, itinerant preacher, director of campus ministries, college pastor, director of the call, traveling evangelist, associate pastor, church planter, senior pastor, and father of the house, and all these things, and all different careers. And I thought, oh, I was going to do this, and I was going to do this for when I got into youth ministry. I thought I was going to do this for the rest of my life, and all these other things. But my job's changed so many ways. My job title's changed, but the vision remained the same, which is son, build my church. And I've never wavered from that. I've had to learn to be flexible in doing that. I learned this years ago when I was in seminary, and you know, I was a young eligible bachelor. I remember obviously I was looking for a wife during that time. And so, thankfully, there were women that were interested in me. And so I would take them out for coffee or talk. And I just wanted to hear a story. I just wanted to see if there was some compatibility there. And I would just really ask really one question, or my test was just one test. And because I felt like God called me to come to Asia, particularly China. And so that was so ingrained in me. That was a vision. And so I would ask these women, and we talk about things, and, you know, and we could hit it off and be all these, you know, be compatible in these things. I'd say, well, what do you think about China? What do you think about Asia? And then if they said like, well, I don't know about being a missionary. And then I would talk, but that would be it. You know, check off my list. Okay, I'm going to move on. And I did that maybe like 6-7 times. And so obviously I was you know, not dating anyone, and this is a tough situation. And then I realized, man, you know what? I need to be more flexible. I need to be more flexible. I mean, not everyone wants to be a missionary to China, right? I can't cross people off in that way. And so I learned, because callings change all the time, but the vision remains. And so when I met this young woman named Lisa, and I took her out, I mean, okay, we're not going to get into the other story that she rejected me, but this part, you know, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm thinking about being a missionary of China. I feel like that's my call and what God's going to do, and I'm going to move out to Asia, hopefully Hong Kong, you know, or whatever the case may be. And I remember what she said. She says, oh, I don't know about that for me. But then she said, but I'll do whatever God asked me to do. And for me, I was like, ding, 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 you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner. I mean, that, you know, that was it. And I was like, man, this is it. Because we got to be flexible. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much change going on around us. But we just make sure the vision remains intact. For her, the heart that I should have been looking for all that time was, I'll do whatever God asked me to do. Not that I'll just do this thing. Because guess what? Let's say, you know, something happens, you get in a relationship with somebody, and it's because of this purpose, which was this ministry or this job. And then 5 years later, you're not doing it anymore. So what's going to happen? Is the relationship going to self-destruct? I mean, who knows? And so you learn to be flexible. Flexibility. The last one, number three, which is really probably the most important one. What do you need to thrive in the midst of uncertainty? To thrive and not just survive? You need powerful prayer. You need powerful, heaven-shaking, earth-moving prayer. We got to pray like crazy. This is why we start every year with a fast. It's a kickstart to really focus ourselves to pray like crazy before the Lord in this way. We need to pray like crazy, and we need to receive grace. Think about this. Salvation took away the uncertainty of our eternity. Praise the Lord. Praise God for the cross. Salvation took away the uncertainty of our eternity. Praise God. So now we need to retreat to prayer and grace. We need to retreat to prayer and grace. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be a lot of challenges in 2021. I'm not going to kid you. I sense it. There's going to be challenges that hit this year. There's going to be great things that happen, and God wants us to thrive. I'm going through the book of Mark during early morning prayer, and just did chapter 5. And man, the Holy Spirit just spoke so powerfully into my heart in this way. Mark chapter 5, it's about three different episodes. And there are three people dealing with basically three, what I call the horrible D's. So we start off Mark chapter 5. We get the demoniac from the Gerasenes. And so the first horrible D is demons. The second episode we get is the woman that's got the blood flow, basically her can't stop her menstrual cycle. And so the second horrible D is disease. And then the third horrible D, we're introduced to Jairus and his daughter who has died. And so the horrible D's, we have demons, we have disease, and we have death. And so all these things confronted Jesus in Mark chapter 5. And it's interesting that in each of these situations, the demoniac, the woman, and then Jairus, who is interceding for his daughter, all three of these situations, the encounter started on their knees. The demoniac fell and bowed down before Jesus. Jairus grabbed Jesus and entreated him to come and heal her daughter. The woman crawled through the crowd and touched on her knees the hem of her cloak. And when Jesus said, "Who I felt power come out of me," the woman bowed down before the Lord. And I think this is a great picture of when we talk about powerful prayer, how we should react to the Lord in the midst of uncertainty. Because we're gonna face demons. They're after us. We're gonna face disease. I mean, this is what COVID-19 is, and the other things. We're gonna face death even for some of us. And in all of these things, the only thing we can do, the proper response that we have, is to fall on our knees before Jesus. That's what they did. And guess what? God came through for them. Took care of the demons, the disease, and death. Powerful. It's powerful. I was so shaken by that. They all started, the journey all started at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think about 2021, and I just want to give you a charge tonight in this way, and let's, when we talk about powerful prayer, let's start on our knees. Let's throw ourselves at the mercy, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's there with us. He's there. Solomon's Porch in 2021, let's thrive. Let's thrive. Let's prepare ourselves rightly for a great year, despite the uncertainty and despite the difficult circumstances. This is why we're fasting. This is why we do this. And I'm praying and fasting for all of you that you would experience the fullness of God in 2021. But let's start on our knees. So can we do that? Wherever you're at right now, can I implore you, encourage you? Let's just get on our knees before the Lord and let's pray. Let's pray that we would thrive. Jesus has overcome demons, disease, death, and he's going to be with us. So let's start there. And then he'll say, tell us to get up and walk out this journey. We do that. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that in the midst of uncertain times, you are constant. You do not change. We can trust you. You are for us and not against us. You make us the head and not the tail. And as we embark into 2021, Lord, lead us. And we're going to respond to you, God, by falling on our knees. So come, Holy Spirit, and lead our churches, our leaders, our members. Lead us to your knees, even as Jesus says, this is the best place. Mary has chosen the best place. So we want to start on our knees. And hopefully finish on our knees as well. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for letting me speak to you. God bless you.